Right now, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom. Appraise This. They are the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group is where you can find them, tqag.com. And we say good morning to the Frickin' Frackers. Hello.
Good morning. You just get fricked today.
Oh, no frack, huh?
He's under the weather. He's feeling a little under the weather, so he's sleeping in. So I said, sleep in. I got it. No worries.
No problem with that. I woke up this morning at, I went to bed early. I went to bed at 6:30. I was tired. And I had, have you ever had a dream that's almost like you're watching a movie and I got up around midnight.
Yes.
And then I went back to bed and I went back to the same place in the dream and picked it up. And I was right near the end of this dream.
And it was
time to get up and go to work.
Yes. I'm like, wait, I want to know how this ends.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that Greg was up late. He was watching The Crown and I had to go to sleep. I went to bed early because, you know, I'm still working.
There's something about that. Well, I want to go. We've got some very interesting stories here. Christie's in France, the personal collection of Herbert de Da Vinci,
sold
$86 million dollars.
Yes, there was a great article that I was reading yesterday, and it had a photograph of the entire Christie's Paris and Europe staff, because it took, they were saying that it was an amazing sale, 100% sold, went way above the estimate, and I think it's one of the highest, if not the highest, single owner sale in France. So it of, you know, like art and collections and things like that, really just so successful. There were so many people, but it was also, I think what drove the whole thing was that there was such a wonderful, almost curated groupings of items. And I think from a designer's eye, it's, you know, whether it was artwork, furniture, furnishings, just a variety of different things, but pulled together beautifully. And I think that the market responded to it.
What I'm seeing more and more, and I'm learning as I go inch by inch, is that when you sell a set of complete works, or you sell things that basically are collections of one person's collection, focusing in on that one person, it seems those lots seem to bring bigger amounts.
Right, with the caveat that one person should be likable, desirable, popular, because, you know, it is the way that it's been curated and it's the way it's been put together. And I think that when you have a popular, iconic individual like Givenchy as a fashion designer, as especially making a name in France, there's just undoubtedly that when their items, especially when they're just wonderful items, because that also makes a difference. However, you know, you look at Marilyn Monroe, and there was a sale of just all of her kitchen stuff, and that went crazy as well. So, you know, again, it has to be a popular, iconic individual, and then really it's almost whatever it is, people just want a piece of it so that they can say that they're just as fashionable as Givenchy.
Kitchen stuff, Marilyn. She never touched anything in the kitchen other than.
Of course, she didn't. That's the irony, is that, and pots and pans have sold for $20,000 and $30,000. You know, they're $3.30 and $0.50, and I get a garage sale.
I'm just imagining what was how much did. I guess, yeah, she was wealthy, and so sure, you know, she probably had a well-stocked kitchen. But still, I sit there and I say, kitchen things, Marilyn Monroe? I can understand wardrobe, shoes.
Oh, sure.
Things
sure.
like that, jewelry, yeah. But kitchen items? Wow.
But when they did her single owner sale, there was all sorts of this was a while ago. This was around 2000. They did a single owner. Just it was a collection of it was like the Maryland treasure trove, and whoever had purchased. And I forget where it was coming from, but it was coming directly from her estate because after she passed, there was an estate sale of some of her items, and whoever was doing this whole sale, that's where they purchased most of the stuff. And at that point, it was not as 24-hour news cycle kind of, 15 minutes of fame-ish. It was just the sale of her stuff, and nobody really paid attention. But in this particular, I still can see the catalog. It's an assortment of kitchen cookingware. I estimated at like a, 8 to 1200, and it sells for $20,000 or $25,000. But somebody just wanted to say that they cook, and you're right, Marshall. She never cooked. It was just something that was in her kitchen.
Yeah, because you can't even say, George Washington was here with it. She probably never ate at home at all.
No,
But anyway,
Washington never slept there.
No, never. Even though he probably would have. All right.
Right,
one
exactly.
president to another. All right. I thought we were done with the Platinum Jubilee in Britain, but we're not because
Oh, no.
there's an auction coming up, the Platinum Jubilee auction, in about a week or so, and in it is a painting by Francis Bacon depicting another painter, which is expected to go for a hefty sum of $60 million.
Oh, yes. And look, the Platinum Jubilee season is something that's, of course, being celebrated. I mean, also the longevity on the throne. And we had talked about this, that Sotheby's has a whole group of auctions that are planned around it just to help celebrate it and what's going on. I think that is something that helps bring out more not only the property, because as Sotheby's is putting a sale together, they're also saying, "Oh, and we're going to do this," and it's in celebration of, so it inspires people to consign, but then also the marketing. And that's where you're getting some really nice pieces. Plus, this is the time period at the end of June is when they usually sell a lot of the fine art in London. So this is I know Phillips has been doing a number of sales the last couple of within the last 2 weeks, and I've been watching those in London and also in Hong Kong. But this is the London season of when the fine art is going to be sold. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pays off. And it just really helps with the promotion of the sale because, look, we're talking about it too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're absolutely right. Bingo. Bingo on marketing. Bingo on marketing. This is an interesting story, and I know that Greg would appreciate it. The co-winner of the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize, an editor of one of Russia's last major independent newspapers, auctioned off his Nobel Medal for $103 million. And you know what that money's going for?
What?
Children and in need in Ukraine, in a war in Ukraine.
Oh, that's wonderful.
$103.5 million, he's auctioning off that. It's going to benefit UNICEF's humanitarian response to displaced children. Heritage Auctions is doing that. I didn't think you could sell Nobel Prizes like that.
Oh, those you can. And they have come up throughout my tenure in this business. I've seen pieces like that come up. But this, I think, because of the direction of where all the proceeds were going, I mean, just saying that all the proceeds were going to go, to help and what it was going to do. I mean, talk about an opportunity to really utilize your public persona to make a difference. And this is a record for a Nobel Prize to be sold at auction. So this is something. It has all of the components, and I think that people really get behind it because they also realize where the proceeds are going. So this also begs the question, whenever we're doing appraisals and we're looking for comparable sales, this becomes one of those sales that are really is an anomaly. It's not considered just a regular sale because people are motivated by the fact that the proceeds they're going to give and that money is going to go to do some good in the world. So it's another way of just really making a difference.
All right. And this I've got to ask you about because I get a little scared when I hear the word deregulation. We saw that it seemed like a great idea with the phone companies to deregulate the phone company and rid AT&T of its monopoly. And ever since then, all things have gone to hell. In New York, the auction houses are being deregulated.
Yes.
Now, Right. Seriously, what possible good can come out of deregulating them, or is there a good that can come out of it?
Well, and that's going to be the question. So let me take you back 30 years when I started. When I was working at Christie's and we had to get our auctioneer's license. Now, the licensing of auctioneers and auction houses, you have to go to the Department of Consumer Affairs. But it was also the same, we were in the same area, the same building, and you stood in line with the hot dog vendors and all of the, if you were applying for a license for street sales, street vendors. And it was really fascinating. We always joked whenever someone was going through auctioneer school and when we had graduated, they said, now you get to go to the Department of Consumer Affairs, stand in line with all the hot dog vendors. But it's one of the things that really they would send people because we were instructed when I was training is that we always had to make announcements at the beginning of the sale, making sure that the public was aware that the auctioneer would bid on behalf of the seller up to but not exceeding the reserve amount, if there was a reserve, so that they were placing the bids, where a lot of people always look at that as, oh, that's chandelier bidding or they're just bidding me up. No, you are allowed to go up to that. And also in the state of New York, the reserve could not be higher than the low estimate. So a lot of times we would say, let's just go one or two increments below the low estimate so that the piece sells. Let's be conservative. And 90% of the time that worked. However, there would be people from the Department of Professional Licensing and Consumer Affairs there that would come in and would watch sales. And they, if they wanted to, could go into the bid room. They could take a look at that. You had to open, you know, be transparent and show them that this is how you were operating. Now, with all that changing, time will tell because there are municipalities, there are places throughout the country where there are no licensing requirements for auctioneers. So it does work in other parts of the country, but I think especially in New York and with such big amounts of money that's being transacted, the other thing that was always transparent is if a piece had a guarantee that there was somebody who put up the money to guarantee that this would sell, and if it went above, then that individual made money. If not, they purchased the piece. But they also, you had to mark that off in the catalog, and I think all of that goes away now. There is some detriment to the public, which I don't think a lot of auction goers really understand because we don't deal in that level. But I think that there will be some There will be some, as I said, time will tell. And I hate to look in the crystal ball and say, oh, this is a good thing or this is a bad thing. I think we just have to play this out and see. And if it needs to be changed, then I think that they will change it. But it is interesting that they chose to get rid of all of this.
Now, was this an impetus of the state or an impetus of the auction houses?
I think that it was, it was the city, because it would have been, your license was only good in the city. So this would have been a city decision, not a state, because in New York State, you don't need to be licensed as an auctioneer. But see, each city, each municipality may have some sort of regulation that if you are doing an auction within their township or within their borders, then you either have to register. You know, they always want a piece. They want something. So you have to get a temporary license or something for that particular auction or, you know, whatever that is. Now, in the state of Florida, it's a Florida thing. Both the auction house and the auctioneer need to be licensed. And they have, you know, they do monitor that. However, I've seen a decrease. Well, and with COVID and everything else. But I, you know, pay my dues, and I used to get a newsletter from the state of Florida. We don't get that anymore. And it's just a small board. And if there are any, if there's a public complaint, there's a place to go and do that. With this being dismantled, there's no place for the public to vent or to say, I've been wronged by this auction house. They can't go to this department. So then that would have to mean, or could possibly mean, a lawsuit or some sort of mediation.
All right.
So it'll be interesting to see what'll happen.
Well, deregulation is a word that can be very good or very bad.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It all depends how it develops. All right. Well, good job soloing it this morning, Tim.
Hey. Hey, good to talk to you, and I'll be on the road. I'll actually be in New York City, just talking about New York City. I'll be there next week.
All right, and we didn't even talk about you-know-what this morning.
I know. Greg wasn't here.
That's right. All right, Tim, take care.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke, of course, Tim and Greg, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, and you can find them at tqag.com. On the web or right here at Robinhood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on appraise this.